This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action, and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Hello, my name is Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses a lot of the training that I offer small investors who want to get in or grow their self-storage business. Many of you who are watching this know me. Now, I've hesitated for a long time to make this video. I don't want to sound alarmist or, you know, use scare tactics. But as I'm closing out the year 2025 in my mind and in my businesses, and I'm preparing for the upcoming year, and I just feel it's important for me to make this video. Part of what an entrepreneur's job is to look into the future, see whatever they think they see is coming, and then make decisions now accordingly so we're prepared for what we see in the future. And I just feel like it's time for me to share at least what I'm seeing as I look into the future and how it may impact self-storage directly. And in many ways, I see self-storage as a hedge for what I see coming. Now, I think the average American is going to be blindsided by what they see coming and how fast it's coming. This isn't political. This isn't about left versus right. And the reality is, what I see coming, if in fact it's what I see, no politician's going to be able to change it, left or right. It's really about a fundamental restructuring of our economy. And in essence, it's the elimination of thousands, and I mean thousands, if not millions, of jobs. This change is already underway, and it's approaching us like a fast-moving train on a railroad track barreling straight towards us. At least my research, and that's what I see. Now, this change that's moving towards us like a fast-moving train it's going to affect everyone, or most everyone. It's going to affect particularly the middle class. It's going to affect the blue collar, and it's going to affect low income workers. It literally will affect everyone. And I don't like using scare tactics, and in many ways, I'm not scared about what I see coming. In fact, I've spent most of my life developing the skill set, the mindset, to be able to be with whatever's going on in the world. I'm clear that my serenity, my equilibrium is a function of how well I can be with life on life's terms. And I've worked hard most of my life to develop that muscle and that skill set. So it's not like I'm scared of what's coming. I'm just adjusting to it and making decisions today based on at least what I think's coming down the railroad track right at us at full speed. Now, like I said before, self-storage is going to be one of the ways I hedge against this. I think it's a phenomenal asset class to do it, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But it's not the only strategy that we can deploy to deal with what I see is coming. And it's not the only strategy I use. It's just the one that I'm probably more qualified to talk about than the others. Much of what I'm going to share with you, I've learned over the last year from a person named Louis Navalier. Louis Navalier is a Wall Street investor that I follow. And I've learned over the years if I'm trying to anticipate what's coming, one of the main things I do is I don't follow the talking heads, especially the political talking heads. I don't really get much of what I'm seeing from the newspapers. There are hardly any newspapers anymore. Or from the news silos. where you can get news. I literally have to watch three or four different news silos and try to piece together what I see is coming. But mostly, I anticipate the future by watching where the money's going. Most of the talking heads, even me, have an agenda, but money has one agenda, and that's profit. So I watch closely where the money's going. And Louis Navalier and I have probably polar opposites of political views, but I totally respect him. He's one of the few people I follow. And not all, but some of the information I'm getting and sharing with you today, I've gotten from him. You know, the old-fashioned, tried-and-true ways that most people use to get ahead in life has been changing. Slowly, but it's been changing. The old get a job, work hard, save your money, a 401k, if you're lucky, a retirement plan and pension, those days are pretty well over, or an IRA is the way to prepare for the future. I don't think the future that I see, that's going to make a whole lot of difference. Some, but not a whole lot. You know, for most people, at least in America today, we look around. This is a worldwide phenomenon, by the way. We look around, we see a lot of political polarization. And most of us feel like a fundamental change is happening or going to happen, but we're not exactly sure what. Groceries are higher. Housing is much higher. Gas, we're told, is lower. May or may not be. And we all tend to have our stock answers on why it's the way it is or what's happening based on primarily who we live with and what news silos we get our information from. Mostly we blame the other side or we blame others for whatever negative condition we think we're seeing as we look out into the world and into our economy. The very source of our economic strength as a country is changing, and I don't think it's ever going back. So if you think about what made America great or strong or a world power, it wasn't our natural resources, although we have a lot of natural resources. It wasn't even our military strength, although we have the mightiest army in the world. It wasn't even our so-called free market system, although it's the envy of most of the world. I suggest that America's true strength, greatest asset, is something far more valuable. Human knowledge. The innovative breakthroughs that we've made throughout our country's short history have propelled our society and the world forward towards all of the services and products that we offer each other in the world are really a function of our human knowledge, our human innovation. I suggest that that's been the bedrock of our prosperity as a nation. Even our founding was based on a revolutionary concept and principle at the time. Think about it. Every great fortune, every great breakthrough, every great scientific, economic discovery rested on the bedrock of human knowledge. You can start with nothing, build an empire, lose it, and start all over again and build it again. If you have that resource. Now, we're facing something entirely different. What many spent a lifetime, 10, 20, 30 years developing, can be replaced in minutes. Human knowledge, which has been our greatest resource, is fast becoming our fastest depreciable asset. Yes, I'm talking about AI, but not in the way you may think, not like how we use GPT chat or talking to Alexa. I'm talking about something far more fundamental. You know, I watched a video months ago where Mr. Navalier was sitting in a boardroom with a Fortune 500 company, and the board was to talking about how they're going to be deploying AI over the next 3 years or so. And in this publicly traded company, they saw that they could eliminate up to 70% of their payroll and be more productive, more efficient, less mistakes, and generate higher profits. He said that no one in that boardroom talked about the human cost, the families that will lose their health insurance, and what kind of job will be available for the people that they're replacing. None of that was discussed. And these were all highly paid professional white-collar jobs. And this isn't something in the future. It's happening now. On July 29th, 2025, the U.S. Department of Statistics released a revision on, they revised their job creation number down 911,000 jobs. I'll say that again. It was the largest revision in the last 45 years and probably the second largest revision in the history of the U.S. Bureau of Statistics. They were off 911,000 jobs in a quarter. Now, it wasn't that the economy wasn't growing. In fact, in the past, with the growth rate that that economy had, it should have created 1 million jobs. That's what was predicted in the original report. But the fact is, there weren't 1 million jobs created in that expansion through that quarter. There were less than 100,000. AI can do what in the past would have required more hiring. It's happening now. AI has actually crossed a pretty significant threshold in terms of its, quote, IQ inability. Now, it's not an apple-for-apple comparison doing human IQ with AI IQ, but if you put the current development of AI up against human beings, it's in the top 0.1 to 0.2% of the population, and it's only getting smarter. This isn't just another milestone, it's literally a species-changing event. And again, you might think I'm being overdramatic, and maybe I am. But as I look into the future and am planning and making decisions today about my next year, 3 years, 5 years, this is what I see. And so I'm adjusting my strategies based on what I see, and this is what I see. Now, the challenge is traditional economic metrics just can't measure what's happening. The unemployment rate, for example, is masking what's really going on. It's not that all these companies, like the board meeting that Louis Navalier was in, are immediately laying a lot of people off. What happens is, for the most part, as new jobs and as companies expand, just they're not hiring new people. That's why on the July 29th revision, it had to be revised by over 900,000 jobs because they just weren't created. With the level of new unemployment applications for that quarter, it didn't show up in the unemployment statistics. But in the past, an expansion of that much would have created that many jobs. What fills the gap? AI. But don't get me wrong, there are layoffs happening. Intel, 22,000 jobs, 20% of its staff. Microsoft laid off 9,000 people in the past 12 months. Amazon just laid off 14,000 people this year, with more to come. General Motors has furloughed 3,400 people. And in the last 12 months, Meta has laid off 24,000 people. Google, 13,000. Another effect is that the old way of growing professionally and looking at the job market and seeing what kind of jobs are out there just isn't the same. That's why people feel stuck in their current jobs, because when they look in the job market, they don't see opportunities. And the ones that they do see aren't paying what they used to pay. The opportunity to advance within a company is lessened because as the company expands, they're using AI to replace a lot of the roles that traditionally went to people. The white collar, blue collar, low income people have less bargaining power because they literally can be replaced in most cases. So there's less jobs available. I think we'll see less pay for those jobs in the future, while company profits are soaring due to reduced costs and employee efficiency. Now, you can have your own thoughts about that, whether that's good or bad. Doesn't matter. It's what's so. Business owners who don't quickly adjust, if you're a publicly traded company with a board, you'll be replaced. And if you're not, you better adjust or you're going to be obsolete and not relevant in the economy anymore. Even in self-storage, we're using AI. We use AI for a lot of our answering services to deal with current customers. Now, I'm not saying this for political reasons. I have no political agenda here. I'm not trying to get you to believe a certain way. And I could be wrong. I don't think so, but I could be. This is just the nature of the market system. The market rewards efficiency. Now, you can't necessarily change the market system. Why? Well, because people who operate in the market system are going to be more efficient than those that don't. And those that don't will become irrelevant. For most part, it's a fruitless endeavor to try to regulate it or control it. Why? Because people who don't regulate and control it will dominate. And for the most part, what you think about it makes zero difference. It's just what's so. This is part of the evolution of our market system, our economy, and our species. Now, it's critical to understand this, in my opinion, so we can be making decisions today to prepare us and be ready or deal with what's going on in our changing economy. And it's changing very, very fast. Now, basically, I'm dealing with it in two ways. I see two ways. There's maybe more. I'd be interested in your thoughts, but I see two ways to hedge against it. One is self-storage, and we'll talk about why in a minute. And another is I'm investing in companies and getting ownership in some of the companies that are going to be, at least what I think, and I'm not qualified to talk much about this, but I follow Navalier and a few others. I see where their money's going, and I go somewhat accordingly because I want to have some ownership in some of the companies that are going to be in the leading forefront of this economic change. Those are the ways I'm hedging against it. But the speed of this AI change is hyper exponential compared to other changes that we've gone through in our history and recently as technology has evolved. Just think about it. In 1995, 14% of Americans had ever been on the internet. Many had never sent an email yet. By 2005, 10 years, that number was drastically different. In 1995, the idea of buying stuff online, Christmas shopping on your computer, for most people, didn't make much sense. By 2005, it was an everyday occurrence. Within another 10 years, by 2015, companies that hadn't adapted were gone. Blockbuster, gone. Borders and Borders, gone. Kodak, gone. That took literally about a 20-year period. Encyclopedia salesmen disappeared. Travel agents became like a novelty from the past. Think about the music industry. Music distributors, gone. Most people were caught off guard by the speed of the change, and that was a 20-year period. What's happening now, it's happening a lot faster. Now, most people are caught off guard because our brains are not wired to see these changes. As we evolved as a species, our brains are pattern recognition machines. We look into the world and we look for, subconsciously, but we look for patterns. Patterns, seeing patterns is what kept us alive. In the book my second book that's coming out, talk about this. You know, humans have been around for 300,000 years, but it wasn't until about 12,000 years ago that agriculture developed. And how did agriculture develop? We noticed seasonal changes. Pattern recognition is how we're wired. And in pattern recognition, our tomorrows pretty much look like our todays or our yesterdays. We're not wired necessarily to see something that isn't a pattern. Hence, many people are caught off guard, and especially with the speed of the change that I see coming. I think my advantage and our advantage, or your advantage, is to understand the exponential nature of this change that's underway. That's why, at least for me, I'm going all in on self-storage right now. And I'm going all in on ownership of some of the companies that I see that are going to have a big impact on this future that's happening and unfolding in front of us now, that I think most people don't see. See, in the past, rapid change was primarily a function of something called Moore's Law. And if you think about the internet, it pretty much followed Moore's Law. It's like on technological breakthroughs, like they double every 2 years or so. Computing powers in the past 10, 15, 20 years has doubled every couple years or so. But the very nature of AI is different. AI builds upon itself. It can help write itself, and it's self-learning. Every iteration of it is a massive leap forward from the previous one. It's not a hockey stick going up in capacity. It's almost a vertical straight line. Now, again, I'm not saying this as a scare tactic. I want to just talk about it. This is what I see. And I see something that could be like called economic singularity. So far, for the most part, AI is pretty much on screens, in computing power. You know, analysts are being replaced with AI, engineers. AI codes great, can do great in financial analysis. But what's really going to change the game, and it's already starting to happen, is when AI moves out of the computer and goes into three-dimensional reality. In other words, what I'm talking about is the meshing, the combination of artificial intelligence and robotics. Today, robotics doesn't just follow rigid programming. You combine AI with robotics, it's a self-learning, making decisions, robots making decisions on their own in three-dimensional reality. A decade ago, engineers were struggling to have robots be able to pick up unfamiliar objects. The idea that a robot could fold laundry, for example, was just like a huge breakthrough. Today, robots can organize, manipulate, and pick up thousands of objects with near human dexterity, and it's improving daily. Robotics is learning to build themselves, to get better, to build on the knowledge that it's getting out in the world. And the same type of impact I see happening now and definitely increasing in the knowledge-based world of employment is also now going to be happening in the physical labor portion of the employment world. Let me introduce you to Sam, the semi-automated mason. Sam can lay, better than humans, up to 200 bricks an hour. That's almost three times what a seasoned mason can do. Robotics has mastered everything from coffee preparation. Don't be surprised when you see a robot making your latte, to inventory management. Now, don't get me wrong, you'll still need people, just way less. Factories already use less people. I remember when in our state, Governor Beshear, was announcing a new car factory in our state and proudly announcing it was going to hire 3,400 employees. That sure didn't seem like a lot to me. So I did a little research. In the past, when Ford and other car companies opened factories in our state, it was employing thousands, 8, 10, 12, 20,000 people working the line. Today, the same size factory, brand new, is running with 3,400 people. Why? Robotics. And many of those people are highly trained people to manage the robots, engineers, not just line people assembling cars. The market system, the capitalist system, always rewards efficiency. That's just the nature of the market. This isn't science fiction. This is our economy. Amazon's already deployed 75,000 robots in its warehouse. The warehouses that are being planned and under construction now for Amazon have minimal HVAC, have minimal lights, no windows. Why? Robots don't need them. Robots don't call in sick. Robots don't have 401ks. And robots don't take days off. They work 24 hours a day. Elon Musk, who says a lot of stuff, but Elon says that his humanoid robot firm is going to be worth more than his car company. So when you order something online, it's going to be picked at a warehouse by a robot and very soon will be brought to you in an automated car, self-driving car, or delivered by a drone. Science fiction? Am I being overdramatic? Maybe. I don't think so. But that's the future. That's the world. That's what I'm thinking about as I prepare my life and my businesses for what I see coming. Because of this, I'm doubling down over the next couple years on self-storage. Why? Because I want to be positioned well. You see, if any asset class is AI resistant, self-storage. Yes, we may have trucks, automated trucks, delivering people's goods to our facilities. There may even soon be robots that are leasing the facilities or removing the stuff from trucks at our facilities. But AI cannot replace space. Stuff takes up space. And at least in the past, I've been in this business since 1995. I've seen the dot-com bust. I've seen 2001. I lived through 08, the greatest economic event since the Great Depression in 29, through COVID, through the tariffs. And in every case, demand for self-storage has increased. Why? Because the drivers for self-storage are there in expansion times in the economy and in contraction times in the economy. Both create demand for self-storage. Self-storage is Google-proof, Amazon-proof, and for the most part, I think it's AI-proof. Yes, we have a lot more product out there than before. Yes, because of what I'm seeing coming down the road, we're looking for different type markets and looking for different things. What I'm doing today, right now, today, in the self-storage business is different than I was doing a couple years ago, 5 years ago, very different than what I was doing 10 years ago. I'm looking in different parts of the country, different trade areas, but I'm still relating to storage as a way to hedge against what I see coming. Why? Because what I see coming is going to create demand for the self-storage project. And AI, just like other industries, is going to create operational efficiencies in the self-storage business. It already is. We're already using it. So if you're watching this, and this isn't necessarily a sales video for my upcoming boot camp, but it can be. If you're watching this before January 16th, 2026, on January 16th and 17th, there is going to be a boot camp, and we'll talk at length about, you know, what we're doing differently today, the numbers, and what we're, you know, where we're getting in the self-storage business and how we're looking at trade areas. It's very different now than it was a few years ago. Our buy box has changed. And it continually evolves based on what I'm seeing coming down the road. If you've ever thought about getting in the self-storage business, now might be a really good time to dive into it. I can't tell you, in the past month, I've heard it 20 times. I thought about getting in the self-storage business 20 years ago. Wish I had. Well, I have a stock answer. The best time to gotten in the self-storage business was 20 years ago. The next best time is today. In all those other recessions, especially the 08 recession, storage was barely touched. Retail was cream. Office was decimated. Industrial slowed way down. Even multifamily slowed way down. Storage barely touched. Now, past performance is not 100% predictor for future performance. I know that. I know there's a lot more product now than there was in 08 on the marketplace. I know that pricing, dynamic pricing, and the sophistication that this industry has evolved into is way different now than it was in 08. But we're taking all that into account. We're teaching people smart ways to get in the business, what to look for in a trade area, how to identify good trade areas where there's demand for the product, and what today's numbers are, with interest rates being where they are today and construction costs being where they are today. And I know this sounds self-serving, and it is, or may be to some degree, but I don't see a better asset class to hedge against what I see coming, and coming fast. But it's critical that I, and at least the people I work with, get in a disciplined, systematic way, or grow our business in a disciplined, systematic way. And again, this isn't the only way to hedge against the future. This change is fundamental change in our economic system. Those who do nothing, in my opinion, are going to wake up and see the world change before their eyes and just marvel at the speed in which it happened. Now, if you're thinking of getting in or thinking of growing your business and you're seeing this before January, there's a link to find out more about this upcoming boot camp. I work hard to keep the cost as low as possible. It's a live virtual boot camp, 2 days long. And there's a 3-month follow-up so that you can deploy with each other, with myself, and with a group called the Inner Circle. This is a group of like-minded people who support each other as they get in and grow their self-storage businesses. And you will be able to be a part of this group for at least 3 months, more if you decide to continue it. But the first 3 months are included as a follow-up in the boot camp, because I want to make sure you have support as you're out there deploying what you learned in the weekend. Learning something is great, but knowledge doesn't change anything. It's action. And we want to support you and help you be accountable in the actions that you take to get in the self-storage business. So you can find out more about this upcoming boot camp at a link. If you're watching this on YouTube, there'll be a link in the description. If you're watching this after January 2026, there's also a link where you can schedule a call with me and we can talk about it. So I urge you not to sit back and passively watch what's unfolding, or to passively sit back and wonder what you should do. Here's what you should do. Take action. So, I haven't done this as a scare tactic. I've hesitated to even make this video, but I just felt it was important to share what I see coming. And I hope you found it helpful, and I'd value any comments you say or any opposing views. That's fine. I'm not trying to have anybody think or believe anything. So thank you very much, and I look forward to being with you in 2026.